Osher, the Golden Future. Responses to Disciples' Questions, given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India. Discourse number 31.
Beloved Bhagwan, the other night, a girlfriend of mine wolf-whistled at you in darshan. She said you smiled, whereas nobody else around her looked like they appreciated it. I felt sure that you would enjoy it because you're such a crazy master. Would you please speak about this craziness? I love it so much. And what is the difference between ordinary madness and divine madness?
There is great difference between ordinary madness and divine madness. Although it is great, it is very subtle. There is something similar and something absolutely different. The ordinary madness means you have fallen below the mind, but you have fallen out of it. And the divine madness means you have gone beyond the mind, but you have gone out of it. Falling below the mind and going beyond the mind have one similarity. Both are leaving the mind behind. Hence the madman and the sage in some way look similar, but their difference is great. To be beyond the mind means to be in silence, utter silence. To be beyond the mind means you become the master of the mind. To fall below the mind means you become an slave of the mind. All the whimsical ideas of the mind you have to obey. You don't have any control over your mind. the man who has transcended his mind is in absolute control of his mind. He uses it when needed, and he stops using it when it is not needed. Mind becomes an instrument in his hand. But for the ordinary man, the situation is very sad. He becomes an instrument in the hands of the mind. You are asking the other night a girlfriend of mine. Wolf whistled at you in Dasa. You seem to be very poor. You have only a girlfriend. But whosoever is here, whether girl or boy, is my friend. I have not heard the wolf whistle, and I would like your girlfriend to do it again. I love it, because nobody does it to me. She must be mad. As far as my smiling is concerned, she says that you smile. Even if she had tears in her eyes, I would have smiled the same. Even if she was dead, I would have smiled the same. I don't smile at you. I simply smile. It is not addressed to anyone in particular. But if she feels good about it, there is no harm. This time I will be careful. But she has to do it a little loud, so in the whole crowd I can hear it. And whether it is a wolf whistle or anything, if it is done out of love, it is respectful. Whereas nobody else around her looked like they appreciated it. Perhaps she does not know how to do it. Otherwise, my people are always appreciative. Only when you do something wrong, utterly wrong. She has to do some homework. She should start doing it at everyone in the ashram, whomsoever she sees. So she will become famous as the wolf whistle girlfriend. Girlfriend of all. Why possess her? Such a girl is wild and needs to be total freedom. And if this time she does it well, I will especially smile at her and wave too. Because a person is doing so much, everybody cannot wolf whistle, particularly girls don't do that, boys do that, she is daring, courageous. And I love daring and courageous people. And if I wave at her, then everybody will appreciate her. But that does not mean that every girl starts wolf whistling at you. Don't disturb the peace and the music and the silence of the place. There were two pregnant cats standing next to the garbage pile looking for mice. One turned to the other and said, "Do you know the big ginger tomcat with the bushy tail? Well, he is the one who put me in the family way. Who is the father of y'all?" The other pregnant cat replied, "I don't know. I had my head in an empty sardine can at the time." There are people and people. And you have to learn love all.
Beloved Bhagwan, yesterday I was wondering why I still get so caught up sometimes in my German seriousness and wanting things to run perfectly. Today it is all gone. You showered us with so much love this morning that all worries are swept away. Something opened in me that makes me want to dance and sing and embrace the whole world. It feels so good to feel so drunk with love in the middle of the day, rather than pulling myself together after discourse and getting carried away with organizing and getting things done more efficiently. But this new state has a strong side effect. It brings up my lazy side, and, totally unusual for me lately, I feel sensuous and sexual from top to toe. Beloved Book One, any advice as to how to combine these two sides? Or should I just let go and see what happens?
Nandan, first, your feelings sensuous and sexual from top to toe . Just a simple device is start wolf whistling at me. I would really love it. And all your sexuality and sensuousness will disappear in it. You say yesterday, I was wondering why I still get so caught up sometimes in my German seriousness and wanting things to run perfectly. I need you, Germans. Otherwise, who will take care of all my lazy people? So you don't be serious about it. It is absolutely needed by the community. And particularly for a German, it is so natural. That not to be serious will be an unnecessarily torture. You say today it is all gone. You showered us with so much love this morning that all worries are swept away. Something opened in me that makes me want to dance and sing and embrace the whole world. All worries may have gone, but the idea of embracing the whole world is the idea of Adolf Hitler. He was also trying to embrace the whole world. Just people did not like it that much. Their problem. But he made immense efforts and he has succeeded almost. And my showering of love . These are just nursing your roots, not to destroy them. If you have a German heart, my love will make it more German. And if you have an Italian lousiness, my love will make it really lousy. You look at my photographer Niskriya. The more I shower my love on him, the more perfect he becomes. You have to become yourself. Whatever is your natural tendency, your potential, my love has to nourish it, not to wash it away. Of course, these pre-monsoon showers are a little hard and soak the roots, but don't be worried. I take care that nobody goes astray from himself or herself. It is perfectly beautiful that something opened in you, Nandan, that makes you want to dance and sing, but dance perfectly and sing perfectly. It feels so good to feel so drunk with love in the middle of the day, rather than pulling myself together after discourse and getting carried away with organizing and getting things done more efficiently, somehow you have got the wrong idea that I would like you not to have your German quality. It has its own duty. To work efficiently, to organize anything perfectly, my love should make you capable of doing things efficiently with a song in the heart, of organizing things perfectly with a dance in your being. This should not be antagonistic to another, but complementary, helping each other. And this is for everyone. You can only be your authentic self once in a while. You can be on a holiday. That is not a distraction. Just the weekend, Monday, you come back to your original self. You are asking any advice as to how to combine these two sides, or should I just let go and see what happens? You just let go. There is no need of combining them. They are complementary. They will help each other and become an organic unity. If you can watch silently, then all opposites can be supportive to each other, and all contradictions can dissolve in a beautiful orchestra. Mrs. Goldblum brought her husband's remains to the undertaker to have cremated. When asked what kind of container she wanted, his ashes is stored in, she said, "None. I want them poured right into my hand." The undertaker thought this rather odd, but did as the widow requested. Mrs. Goldblum returned home and went straight to the bedroom. She dimmed the light, put romantic music on the stereo, and whispered, "Honey, here is that blow job you always wanted." And she blew his ashes all over the floor. Now, if Jews disappear from the world, something tremendously beautiful will be gone. The world exactly needs the people there are. There are lazy people, they are needed. They are part of a relaxed, utterly contented that is a flowering of its own kind. And there are perfectionists, they are needed. Otherwise everything will be topsy-turvy. There are so many kinds of people. They create a variety. And variety in itself is tremendously needed. You should not ask that everyone becomes like everybody else. In fact, everybody should be left to be himself or herself and respected the way the person is. Because variety means many, many kinds of flowers in the garden. Just roses and roses will be boring. Amongst millions of other people, everybody has an uniqueness and is not boring, but helps the world in its variety, makes the garden more richer. Particularly, my emphasis is that you should always remember that whatever is natural to you is your destiny. What others are doing is good for them. You need not impose yourself on them, and you need not allow them to impose themselves on you.
Beloved Bhagwan, please help me. Now my boyfriend has been in Goa for 5 weeks, and I've had such a good time enjoying the freedom and independency. No need to face my jealousy and possessiveness, just floating through the day. Now it looks as if he is coming back soon, and I'm getting nervous already, wondering what he is doing, how it is going to be, if he found somebody else, etc. What is this attachment to a particular person which creates all these comfortable and very uncomfortable feelings? I'm not really a meditative type, but is there any possibility to go beyond this attachment of the heart and feel free? Or is the only way to live it, go through it, and suffer and enjoy the whole thing?
Latifa, I know your voice. He will make anybody happy if he goes to Goa. And remains there forever. But again, you are a German. You cannot be satisfied with anything less difficult. He is a challenge. So if you are becoming nervous, it is natural. And don't be worried about his getting involved with any girl, because no girl will get involved with him. I have thought about him, and I think that only Latifa. Can manage him. He's a crisp fox. But you love him. You cannot love a simple human being. You are born for each other. Neither you can find another boyfriend, neither he can find another girlfriend. So don't be worried about possessiveness or anything. You can be absolutely non-possessive, still he will be your boyfriend. Where else he can go? You are in a good, secured, guaranteed, insured condition. In the first place, it is a miracle that you have found him. When I heard about it for the first time, I said, my God. Now something mysterious is going to happen. These two people together are going to create so much trouble. But still, he is attached to you. You are attached to him. Mostly your love is fighting. And when you are tired of fighting, you love also. But that is only when you are both tired. He will also be feeling nervous because he has to come. I have sent him only for 6 weeks. And he immediately left the very moment he received my message that go to Goa. He did not wait even a single day. He must have enjoyed those 5 weeks the way you have enjoyed. Now you are feeling nervous and he will be feeling nervous. Because 6 weeks finally come to an end. But deep down you are also feeling happy that he is coming. And the same will be his situation. Let him come. He is just your old boyfriend. You know him every bit. He knows you every bit. All the fights are well known. All the problems are well known. There is no need to feel nervous because there is not going to be anything new. It is just the old chef. So let him come. And start life again in the same old way. It is something to be understood that the girlfriend you get or the boyfriend you get, you deserve. You don't get any boyfriend which you don't deserve. And you don't get any girlfriend which you don't deserve. Those kind of relationships don't last for one day or 2 days, but your relationship has a history. And it is going to last to the very end. So relax and take it easily. You deserve him, he deserves you. And once you see the point that you deserve each other, there is no question of any grudge, any complaining, any grumbling. And you are strong enough, because that crackpot has not been able to make even a dent in you. He has been doing all kinds of neurotic things, but he does not know that Latifa is a psychotic. And neurotic and psychotic make good marriages. They just fit. One psychoanalyst was asked, because those two words look so similar and the difference is known only to the expert, the psychoanalyst was asked, what is the difference between neurosis and psychosis? He said the neurotic thinks 2 plus 2 are 5. And whatever you do, he never changes his mind. He is determined and committed to his viewpoint. And the psychotic knows that 2 plus 2 are 4, but feels very nervous why they are 4. Perfect marriages happen only in heaven, but once in a while on the earth too. Latifa and his boyfriend is a perfect combination. So let the poor fellow come. Start hammering the old way. And you are accustomed, well trained, he is accustomed and well trained. One feels worried about a new girlfriend. One never knows what she is going to do, freak out in the middle of the night. One is nervous about the new boyfriend because one cannot predict what kind of man he is going to prove. You are certain. In this certainty, you should relax and let him come. He will bring his own question. I have been throwing his questions. But because I have answered yours, now I will have to answer his question about you. But I don't see that there is any problem. You both are perfectly happy in your misery. All people are perfectly happy in their miserable relationship. That's why 5 weeks separation and you felt good. But a longer separation and you will start missing him. I have given exact time so that you can enjoy freedom, he can enjoy freedom, and in the right time, when you start missing each other, he is back. Just wait. And he is not a dangerous person. He cannot harm you. He is very good at heart. Just in the head, a little loose. But to have a boyfriend in the head a little loose is better than to have a boyfriend who is a little tight in the head. I know it is no ordinary relationship. You both are extraordinary. What did the tornado say to the coconut palm? Hang on to your nuts. This is no ordinary blow job.
Beloved Bhagwan, love and meditation seem to be opposite polarities. Can you please talk to us on how to grow in meditation and in intimacy with the Beloved?
Prem Azima. Neither you know what love is, nor you know what meditation is. Still you are disturbed by the question. To you, love and meditation seem to be opposite polarities. I wonder from where you got that idea. If love and meditation are opposite polarities, then nothing in this world can be close to another thing. But I know all the old religions have also been under the same fallacy. The meditators have been escaping to the mountains to avoid love. And the lovers never bothered about meditation because they knew that if they meditate, your love life is finished. But it has been one of the longest fallacy humanity has lived under. Love is between two persons, a silence, a joy, a peace, a blissfulness. But because there are two persons, sometimes they don't match. Meditation is the same experience of silence and peace and bliss, but alone. But if two meditators are in love, then things come to the highest peak. If one meditator can reach to a certain peak in his blissfulness, in his silence, two meditators who love each other can become an immense support to each other's flight into the unknown. Their love can become a nourishment to their meditation, and vice versa. Their meditation can become a nourishment to their love. This is the point where which I differ from all the religions of the past. They have made love and meditation polarities, parallel lines which meet nowhere. To me, a man of meditation is bound to be immensely loving. All his anger is gone, all his hate is gone, all his possessiveness is gone. If he cannot love, then who else can love? And the man of love can go deepest in meditation, because love is our highest quality. Our purest self, our perfect sign. If two singing hearts cannot meet in deep meditation, then no other meeting is possible. In fact, the people who have escaped to the mountains to meditate in their meditation only think of women. They hallucinate. Their hallucinations can become so real that they start talking to those women. And the people without meditation in the whole world are loving each other, but their love does not bring a paradise to their life. On the contrary, it creates hell. They are known as intimate enemies. Enemies who have decided to live together. My own understanding is that unless love and meditation are almost two sides of the same coin, we cannot create the new man, the new humanity, the new world. Last night I had told you the story of Jesus on the cross telling Peter, "Peter, from my height I can see the far away my house. From my height of consciousness, I can also see the far away house where love and meditation will dwell together. We have to create that house. Azima, don't say love and meditation are opposite polarity. That is a lie propagated by the priests down the ages. It has destroyed lovers into a miserable life and meditators into juiceless deserts. I want your life to be a garden full of flowers, full of fruit, full of juice. And there is no question how to create a loving, meditative relationship. Here, the people who have gathered around me are already living at least making an effort for the first time in the whole history of man to bring love and meditation as two sides of the same experience. Why love should disturb your meditation? In fact, love should give you the right atmosphere, the right style to meditate. And meditation should give you the right fragrance for love to become a treasure, a glory, a benediction. Okay, Manish.
Yes, Bhagwan. So